Hey, thank you so much for being here this morning. It's so good to have you again. If you came in late or whatever, my name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm just honored to be able to be here with you today. You know, I got to say a little shout out. Pastor Gabe has got this. He went home, spent a weekend with his family. I'm so glad that he got to do that. And most importantly, yeah, his Mountaineers won. Okay. So I said it. It's recorded. I gave him props. Okay. You know, I was a little worried about him yesterday. I didn't get any text messages like I usually do about the Mountaineers game, like I care. But I knew he was sober, so I figured, but I did get worried he got trampled and all of that. So anyway, I did finally hear from him, and he had a great time. And so he'll be here tonight for URA students. So if you're a middle or high school student, you need to come back at 6 o'clock tonight to hang out with our students. You'll have a great time. You'll go into groups based on your age groups together and be able to just kind of dig through some things that God has for you there and help you just to be have a better life. And so that's a cool place to be and a cool opportunity to have. So I want to invite you to be part of that. So parents, if you want to come drop your kids off, you can also come back for the Gospel Project. That's our Sunday evening service. It's a Bible study we're going through, a curriculum that we're following, and it's going to be really cool. We're going to start out tonight with some Psalms and a Genesis and just looking at some things. So if you want to come back at 6 o'clock, that's for all adults, whether you have kids or not. Come on back and hang out with us, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that tonight. But that's at 6 o'clock, so come be with us for that. All right, so I get your interest piqued. You're all like, okay, what's the deal? What's the PG thing? Well, we'll get to that in a second. But the main thing is that we're in a series called Guardrails, and what we're talking about is being able to establish some boundaries in our lives that prevent us from being places that we don't need to be. All right, so what a guardrail is a system. We need to understand it's a system. That means you have to think it through and have to put it there. A system that's designed to keep a vehicle from straying to dangerous or off-limit areas. All right, so that's the definition, an official definition of guardrail. So it's a system that's designed to keep cars from going to dangerous places. That's a big word. You need to understand that dangerous is kind of key for us in this, because when you think about a guardrail, when you're driving along, you know, we typically don't pay much attention to them until we see a car all crashed up beside one. But the reality is a guardrail is there, not in the dangerous area, but in the safe area to keep you out of the dangerous area. So if you cross over that guardrail, you're in the band, and that's a dangerous place to be. I just want to tell you. No. The guardrail is to keep you safe. It's to keep you from going too far. And so as we think about a guardrail, we've been thinking about how can we put those into our lives in every area, because there are dangerous areas in all areas of our lives. So we need to stay out of those. And so this series is one that we've borrowed from North Point Church in Atlanta, from Pastor Andy Stanley, but it's one of those that's made such an impact on me in my life and how I look at things. And so I believe it's one of those things that can just help all of us if we think about guardrails in our lives. So here's the definition that we need to apply, though, if we're going to talk about it in that context, that a guardrail is a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. A personal standard, that means it's a personal choice. You have to choose to put these in your lives in the safe zone before you get to the dangerous zone. But it's a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. That means when we get to those guardrails in our lives and those rails that are there in the safe areas that are leading us and keeping us out of the dangerous areas, when we get there, there ought to be bells and alarms and whistles and all kinds of stuff goes off in our conscience that says, whoa, I got to stop because I'm heading towards something that's going to hurt me. And that's what we've been looking at in that when we get to a place, we say, listen, once I cross over that boundary, that somebody's going to get hurt. I'm going to get hurt. Other people are going to get hurt. And that's a place that I don't need to be. That you say to yourself, I'm never going to do this so I don't end up there. So I'm not going to do this because I know that will lead to me doing that. And we've got to think this through. It's got to be a system in our own lives if it's going to be effective and if it's going to help us to not be there. I mean, think about a guardrail. If we're on the mountainside and they put the guardrail halfway down the hill, how much good would it really do? It's not going to do, it might stop us halfway, but more than likely by that time, we're going to roll on past it and we're done. So the reality is in our lives, we've got to put these guardrails up in the safe zone away from the danger. The thing of that we like to do, though, is get it right up beside it just so we can be around it a little bit. So we can just get a little feel for it, a little bit of taste of it without having to go over. The problem is once we're there, we're in trouble. And so today I want us to talk about living not on the edge, but back from the edge. Not at disaster, but on the edge, back from the edge of disaster. See, we typically do that financially. You know, that looks in our financial lives, that looks like we got too much debt. Once we get to too much debt, when we've got all of our income tied up in bills and in payments, we're past the guardrail. When it comes to our friendships, if we're friends with people that are taking us places that we don't need to go, listen, we've already crossed over. When it comes to our morals of making decisions that don't line up with what the scripture says, once we're already there making those, we're too late. So we've got to set it back from the edge. And today we're going to talk about one of those areas that's tough. I'll be honest with you, it's going to hit a lot of people in the room. In fact, I believe it's going to hit most of us. All right, and I say us, because I can speak to this very clearly, that this is one of those guardrails that once you go by, once you cross over, it is a dangerous place to be. We're going to look at this guardrail today because it's one of those that, yeah, you know, you're going to expect your preacher to talk about, but the reality is it's not your preacher that's talking about it. It's the scripture that talks about it, that I have to be able to communicate the standard. It's one of those places that if we could get our guardrails in the right place, let me just tell you, it would affect our prison population. It could reduce it if we could get it right. If we could get the guardrails right in this area, listen, a lot of little boys and girls would be tucked in by mommy and daddy every night. If we could get this one right. If we could get this one right, listen, it would impact our healthcare system, because things would be handled a lot different. If we could get this one right, it would affect every area of our culture. If we could just get this one right, if we could step back and say, you know what, I'm going to set this one up right. And the guardrail I'm going to talk about today is in the area of physical and sexual intimacy. Now, this is going to knock, let me just tell you, there's two things that a preacher struggles to talk about. It's sex and money. We like to have money, and yeah, believe it or not, preachers like to have sex, okay? I'm not being gross, I'm just saying, it's just part of who we are, right, okay? That all happens. So I probably just offended half of you, so now I'm down, I just cut it in half, didn't I? Man, sorry. Hey, I'm going to be real if I'm going to be anything up here. But the truth is that those are two hard things to think about because I know that it impacts so many people. Listen, I don't believe this message is going to come out of here and anybody's going to be unscathed by it. I know that. But that doesn't mean I can't preach it. That means I can't back away from it and not be and do what God asked me to do. So listen, today if you get upset with me, listen, I apologize. And so my prayer has been that I don't say anything in this that's not of me, that this is God and that I give the words that he's given me to give. So if you get mad, don't get mad at me. You need to handle it with him because we're going to go from here, from the scriptures, and we're going to do it the way that I believe that he wants it done. My prayer is that if I say something that's of me, listen, that you'll forget it and we'll move on. But the stuff that's going to come from him, let me just tell you that we're all going to need to plug it in because it impacts us to that level. All right? So today, listen, you're going to think I'm talking to you. Right? There's going to be things we're going to hit on that you're going to think, oh, he's just talking to me. Nah, let me just tell you, I'm talking to everybody. If it happens to hit you, that's something that you got to deal with. Because listen, it's hit me all week. And some of these things are going to be very tough for me to talk about because I've dealt with it on a very personal level. And so you just need to know where I come from before we get too deep down into this. Why is it that we need guardrails when it comes to physical and sexual intimacy? See, we need them in every area of our lives. Just in this one, we need like double super reinforced steel. Because this is the one that we like to go crashing towards, and we just think we can just barrel through it and we're going to be okay, because that's just who we are. Because I'm a guy. I'm supposed to be able to do this. Doesn't work. Because I'm a lady and this, you know, I deserve this. No. It doesn't work that way. I'm unhappy and God just wants me to be happy. Listen, God wants you to be joyful. He didn't care about your happiness. You need to dig down into that one a little bit deeper. Because what we think is happy is a long way from what he considers joy. And if you show me where he says in the scripture he wants us to be happy, then we could have a conversation. But he speaks over and over and over again about our joy. And that comes from a whole different place. So we need to dig down into it. Now I just lost another half of you, or another quarter, I guess, probably on that one. But the reality is, when it comes to physical and sexual intimacy, it's one of those that we have the hardest time recovering from. Listen, you can have a financial disaster in your life. You can go bankrupt. You can just be, you know, up to your eyeballs in debt, and you can, you know, lose the car and the house and all that stuff. But eventually, you can work an extra job. You can save up some money, and you can get yourself back financially into a pretty good place, right? You can recover from that. For professional, in your work life, you can have a professional disaster, lose your job, lose your business if that's what you own or whatever. You can do all of that, and eventually, one, you can either get a new job, you can recover, you know, you can get that back, get some new skills, get a new job, whatever. You can recover. Educationally, listen, you can flunk out of school. Some of you college parents right now are saying, you shouldn't say that. But you can flunk out of school, go to summer school, go to community college, get your grades back up, and get back in there. You can recover from those. But when it comes to a physical and sexual intimacy disaster, listen, there is way too much baggage that comes along with that that you're going to carry for a long time in your life, and you may or may not ever get over it all. I'll just tell you from my own experience that from things, guardrails that I have busted through in my own personal life, there are still things that I have to deal with today. Because of that, we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. So I'm not talking to you from somebody who don't get it. I understand that. This is one of those that holds on to us and it doesn't want to let us go. But we can get through it and we can be redeemed from it. But the reality is, it's going to follow us. And so we need to know that this is one of those places that we need to establish those guardrails and establish them well. Or else we're going to find ourselves struggling. What culture wants to do is it brings us through this thing and it tries to tell us that, sex is just physical. Listen, sex isn't just physical. It's way beyond that. It's emotional and there's so many ties into all of that stuff. It's way deeper than anything else that we deal with. We carry memories and guilt and all of those things that just kind of hang around with us and follow us through. The guardrails need to be there. We need them for every desire in our lives. Listen, we've got to put them in there, but this one requires the strongest and toughest because of the implications that it carries and the length of time that it tends to grab us and hold on to us. Today I'm going to be very, very explicit, not graphic. I'm going to be explicit and I'm going to be specific, because as your pastor, if I don't do that, then I'm accountable for that. And I don't want to see you go through some of the things that I've gone through and others have gone through that I've sat with and counseled with and talked with because they just weren't willing to do something to make it better. And so today we're going to talk about those things and we're going to get down to it. Some of you are going to say, Ron, you're being way too conservative today. You're being legalistic. Nah, I can't wait for that one to come. You're being legalistic. No. I'm trying to save you from so much heartache. And if you know what, if we got to be a little legalistic to get there, then that's what we need to be. We need to quit thinking legalistic is just a negative thing. When we set it in a place that protects us and helps us to be all that God wants us to be, see, even when we're legalistic, we still have freedom if we're a child of Christ. But we just need to know that there are some things that are acceptable and some that aren't. And that's not because somebody says so, but because God makes it very clear. Today we're going to talk about some scripture that, listen, if we could just get this into our heads and see this few little verses that we're going to read together, if we could just get that right, the impact that it could have would be overwhelming in every single area of our lives. If we could just quit saying, you know what, this is for somebody else, and begin to listen and hear it for what God wants to say to us through it, then I believe it'll be powerful. And we can see something great come from it. So if you have your Bibles, your phone app, YouVersion Live, whatever, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's in the New Testament, about halfway or so of the New Testament. Go to there, we're gonna read together some scriptures, all right? So here we go. I better wipe twice on this one. Here we go. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but a sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. All right, so that's where we're at, okay? That's where we're going to begin. And we're going to pull this thing apart, and we're going to begin to learn what God wants to hear from us in this, okay? So here we go. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Does anybody in here use the word flee on a regular basis? No. So let me translate flee. When the Bible says flee from sexual, it says run like heck. Run. Sorry, Jack. Sorry. I'll wake the baby up in here. But you need to hear it. And that's where we're at. It's not just, oh, you know, let me just get away. No, you better get the heck out of Dodge, because there's something there that he doesn't want you to be around. Flee from sexual immorality. See, how much clearer could that be? I mean, really, if we just take that and we just, that's pretty stinking clear, isn't it? Why do we struggle with it so much? Because some of you are saying, now here we go. This is going to be one of those pastors going to preach down to me kind of things. He's just going to say what pastors are supposed to say. Now, let me tell you this. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say what you know you want to say to your husband. I'm going to say what you know you want to say to your wife. I'm going to say what you know you want to say to your kids, that you want to say to your little nephews, that you want to say, some of us, you want to say to your parents. We're going to dig down into this thing, and we're going to be real about it, and we're going to hopefully walk out of here today being at a place where we can put some things in place to keep us out of the danger zones that come when we make mistakes in this area. Some of you are just glad that your husband's here to hear this. Some of you are glad that whoever's here to hear this. I get it. But I'm glad you're here to hear it, all right? So this is going to be a good one for all of us to do. The Bible says flee sexual immorality, and that's what we tell people. Hey, you need to get out of that situation. That's not good for you. That's not good for you. It's okay for me, though, right? That's not what we say verbally, but it's what we say with our actions. Say, hey, you shouldn't do that. I posted that on Facebook today, that little picture that said, shouldn't do those things. But let me flip over to this other site and let me look at it, because that really doesn't apply to me. Y'all realize how quiet it is in here? It's pretty quiet, isn't it? Because here's what we say. We say, you need to flee, but you know what? I'm going to flirt a little bit. Because, you know, what is sexual immorality after all? You know, we went through that whole what is sex debate. You know, is it sex or is it not sex? Listen, if you got to ask that question, you're probably there, okay? Some of us want to say, well, hey, let's play the hot or cold game. Am I hot or am I cold? Or, you know, am I a little warm? Or, you know, and you try to bounce it. Listen, quit worrying about whether you're hot or you're cold. Set where the warm is, because where the warm is where the guardrail needs to be to keep you from ever getting into that area. We need to focus on doing this. And here's what happens. Our conscience is trying to figure this all out the whole time that culture is baiting us in to the very stinking middle of this problem. I mean, culture is out there setting bait for us, setting us up so that we fall into a place where we give into it, and then they beat us up for it. They chastise, especially those that can, you know, profess Jesus Christ. They love to bait us into it, and when we finally give in and we take the bait, then they just like to blast us. I mean, think about this. Think about how this goes. And listen, I know this is gonna make another half mad. I'm like, the halves are all gone, right? But here's a reality. Think about how the stores at the mall market to teenage girls. Think about it. Probably everybody that just spoke out on that, I'm probably going to get you in a minute. I just wanted to warn you. No, I'm just kidding. The reality is, think about it. Think about how they entice them to dress. Think about the mannequins in the window when you walk through the mall. What do they look like? Think about what teenage girls are wearing today. Now, I'm not some prude. I'm not, you know, that. But just think about it for a second. I mean, if we think back, like, when we were, for those of us, you know, my age and older, you think back to how grandma dressed. You know, grandma used to wear the polyester pants with the elastic waistband. You know, the polyester shirts and all that, the big baggy sleeves and puffy, you know, all, just shoulders and all that stuff. That's how grandma dressed, right? And in grandma's time, had she seen girls dress like they dress today, she would say, that's a prostitute. I mean, listen, I know that's harsh, but I'm being real with you. I mean, think about what, even when I was a kid, which I know some of you think I'm old anyway, but just that ain't been that long ago. But had girls dressed like that then, that's what they would have been called, and that's what they would have been thought of. And they girls aren't just because they dress like that. Let me make sure you understand. But the reality is, it's not what they're dressing like. It's what they're being baited into. Because they're being told to dress like they're 25. So when we dress a 15-year-old like she's 25, she begins to think she's 25, and now she's got to make decisions like a 25-year-old. And that's where the problem comes in. So then when a 15-year-old makes a 25-year-old decision and makes a mistake, then everybody wants to come down on them and beat them up and make them feel bad about it. But the reality is, as our society and our culture, as we allow it to go on, we become a part of it. So some of us have thought bad things about girls that have made mistakes and fallen in when we haven't even maybe accepted our own partial responsibility in it. Now, they made a choice. That's their choice. But when we allow things to go on and we allow things to happen, then we soak in some of that responsibility. So here's the thing. We say, oh, well, we can certainly talk about that, but then the reality is that the guardrail when it comes to our society of what men can and can't look at, oh, well, that's, you know, that's a lot more acceptable, right? Because we say, oh, well, you know, that's just a man being a man. He's supposed to look at stuff like that. He's supposed to have those desires, and he should be able to go there and be able to meet those desires. Let me just tell you, that's not a right. That's not something that we get because we're guys. And we've set a guardrail so that with culture, it says, all right, well, no matter where you set it, here's the bait. Just turn on the TV. Just open up the magazine. Just go to the mall and walk around and see what people are wearing. Just do those things. And so the culture baits them into it. Then the moment they take the bait, they're a pervert. They're a weirdo when all they did was just give in to what was set out there in front of them. We say that, you know, it doesn't really matter what we watch on TV. See, culture baits us in because, think about us, we entertain ourselves with sexual immorality. How many shows do we watch that are based on and it's all about marital affairs? I mean, we entertain ourselves with this stuff, right? I mean, I'm guilty of watching shows with it in it. We allow ourselves to watch those things, and then so when somebody sees that, does that, lives it out, then we cast this thing onto them as somebody terrible. But the whole time we were entertaining it and making ourselves happy with it the whole time. Do you kind of see how society opens this thing up and it allows things to be there for us, and then when we grab the bait and when we take it, we become the bad guy? Or we become the terrible person? Think about the last time that you watched a TV show that really had a married couple have a romantic scene. I mean, just think about that. You probably couldn't name one, could you? Because we've just got to this place where we've just allowed ourselves to take this in. And we entertain ourselves with it. And then when somebody acts out on it, they're bad. So Ron, you're sounding legalistic. You're sounding like, you know, you can't even watch TV. We shouldn't go to the mall. We shouldn't do it. And listen, I'm not calling for boycotts of malls, TVs, or movies. I'm telling you that you and I have to set guardrails in our lives so that there might be some places at the mall we don't need to go. There may be some movies we don't need to go see. There may be some TV shows that we need to quit following and DVRing every week. Because they're taking us somewhere that we're not meant to go. That's not legalistic. That's being a born-again, brand-new creation in God who doesn't get entertained with the things of the world, but begins to see things through God's eyes and the damage that it can cause to us. We need guardrails there. So we need to set them. We need to say, this is as close as I'm getting, but I'm not going any closer. I'm not passing over this. That when I get to this place, I'm going to have remorse. I'm going to know that that's not where I need to be. And I'm going to know that it's taking me to a place that I'm not meant to be. If you're a believer in Christ, listen, the incentive is even greater. That's all. For all of us, we should have some guardrails. But for those that follow Christ, it's even greater. Look at verse 19. He says, or do you not know that your body is a temple? Now, I don't know about you. I get up every day and I look and say, this thing's a temple. I'm just saying. I look in the mirror, it tells me, you know, the only problem is my temple keeps growing. I keep building on. But the reality is, do we really look in the mirror and say, I'm a temple? Do we think about ourselves that way? No. We don't think about ourselves that way. But the reality is, the scripture tells us that we are. That we're a temple. The New Testament makes it very clear that we no longer have to go to a place to worship, that now the place to worship is right here because God comes to live in us. Verse 19 says that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the moment you came to a place, recognize that you were a sinner, you were lost without him, that you confessed your sins, understood he died to pay the price for them, that moment, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. You became a temple. You're special. You're valuable. The culture's not going to tell you how valuable you are in the sense of who you are to God. It's only going to tell you how valuable you are so you'll spend more money so that you can try to be more like who they tell you you should be. But God wants you to understand how valuable you are to him. He says that you have the Holy Spirit, that you have him from God, that God has given you the Holy Spirit. You are very, very, very special. It goes on and says, you're not your own. The implication here is that you have been bought with a price, and that price was Jesus Christ himself. He gave his life on a cross. He died there to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. He was taken off that cross, buried in a tomb. On the third day, God raised him from the dead so that not only you could be forgiven of your sins here and now, but you could be forgiven for all eternity and have that relationship with him. That's how valuable you are. Every person, the price was paid for. It says you've been purchased from the power of sin. You've been purchased from the power of sin, not to keep living in it. Verse 20 says, so glorify God in your body. See, the whole thing wraps around this idea of physical and sexual immorality. Fleeing sex, do we need to flee that? Your body's a temple. It's a temple where the Holy Spirit, God himself, lives within you. And he died to pay a price for you. You're valuable. You don't have to give in anymore. It is something that you can overcome. You don't have to stay there. The price has been paid. So we got to make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we going to honor God with our body or not? See, if something's dishonoring to God, something that you do with your body is dishonoring to Him, you can't do it. You don't do it. Not because it's legalistic, because you've been bought with a price. And He paid that just for you. And He wants that relationship with you. Here's the point. To honor God with my body, I must flee, not flirt. If I'm going to honor God with my body, I got to flee and not flirt. Let me tell you, I know what it's like to flirt with it. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be there and no guardrail, you know, just to have a space just like this where you can just walk right into that area and find yourself at a place that has the hold on you that you can't break on your own. I make it no secret, and maybe some of you are, sometimes I feel like the Old Testament prophet saying, hey, you need to listen to this. And people say, kind of stop for a second and kind of listen, and then just walk on. It's like, oh, he's just telling that again. Listen, you need to know that there was a time in my life where I was addicted to pornography. That it was something that controlled me and controlled my decisions. It led me to a place where I made choices that took me outside of my marriage, looking for something else. You need to know I've been there, done that. I don't stand here and talk down to you. I stand on and I talk with you because I know what it's like to not have a guardrail that allows you just to go anywhere you want to go, and then when you find yourself in the middle of it, you don't know what in the world to do with it. You need to know. I know what that feels like. My wife knows what that feels like. See, this is serious stuff. This isn't some, he just doesn't want me to look at porn anymore. No, I don't care. If porn's your problem, then yeah, I don't want you to look at it anymore. But I want to bring you to a place where it's not about porn and it's not about sex. It's not about all those things, but it's about a relationship with God that fulfills the thing that you're trying to fulfill with all of that other stuff. And that's where we have to get to a place. We need to honor Him with our body. We can't flirt anymore. We got to stop flirting and we got to start fleeing, or we're going to find ourselves in the middle of a catastrophe that destroys everything that we care about and everybody that we love. And it's time to be serious. Now, I'm gonna give you some guardrails, okay? That's what you all want. You want me to say, okay, well, just tell me and stop, okay? But now here's what you're going to do. You're going to say, again, that's too conservative, Ron. Nobody does that. Nobody's going to do that. Let me just tell you that people do that. They have been doing it, and they will continue to do it. Now, you have to make a choice whether you put that in place in your life. Because the reality is you're going to be the one sitting there 2, 3 years, 5 years down the road and have to either look back and say, man, I'm glad I did that, or you're going to have to say, boy, I wish I'd have listened to that big guy up on the stage that day when he tried to warn me. You got to decide. So here's the reality of where all this goes. When you get down to it, is it too extreme? I don't know. Do you want your wife to do it? Do you want your husband to do it? You want your kids to do it? Or do you want to find yourself in the middle of a sexual disaster that now has put you at a place where, yeah, you've been blessed. I get that. But at the same time, you've taken yourself to a place where God didn't really want you to be. And now you got to figure out, am I going to do it right? Or am I going to let people, or am I going to feel like somebody's talking down to me or whatever? You got to find yourself here. So let's talk about these things and let's be serious about them for these next few moments, because I believe these are things that are so vital to us in this area of sexual and physical intimacy. Here's the first one. I got two lists for you, okay? The first one's going to be for married people. The second one's going to be for single people, all right? I think you should listen to both of them wherever you are, okay? Here's the truth. All right, so let's dig into them. The first one, don't be alone with a member of the opposite sex that's not your spouse, okay? Don't be alone with a member of the opposite sex that's not your spouse. I mean, just don't do it. Now, I mean, I get if you're dating, you're probably going to find yourself alone. I'm talking about if you're a married man or married woman, don't find yourself alone with somebody that's not your spouse. All right, so here's the thing. This is for married people. What does that look like? First, don't travel with members of the opposite sex. If you have to travel for business, don't travel with a female if you're a guy. If you're a girl, don't travel with a guy. If your company puts you in that position, you need to either, one, think about a new job, or two, you need to just say, hey, I can't do that. Because the reality is it will put you at a place that you don't want to be, and you'll be in playing a game that the only way you win is when you lose, okay? So here's the reality. You got to put yourself at a place where you don't travel with members of the opposite sex. That means, listen, if I'm going from here to my house, nobody's riding with me that's not my wife or my girls, if you're a female. I'm not even going to ride you to my house, which is 5 minutes away, and my wife could be there waiting. I'm not going to do it. Don't ask me. Don't ask me for a ride. I'm not going to give you one, okay? I'll get you one, okay? It won't be with another man. It'll be with a female. We'll figure that out, but it ain't going to happen because it just doesn't make sense to put yourself in a place that could eventually bust through a guardrail and find yourself in a dangerous situation. Don't travel alone. Don't even ride to the store with somebody that's not your spouse. Similar, don't eat alone with somebody that's a member of the opposite sex, that's not your spouse. Don't eat alone. Don't have a cup of coffee alone. Don't do it. There's something about the comfort of food and drink that once you get in that situation and you begin to drop your guard, man, all kinds of things begin to flow. You just don't do it. I can tell you that if I'm counseling with a couple, I'm meeting them for dinner, and the wife shows up and the husband can't make it, I'm not staying. Because it just won't work. It's not a good thing. And it's not because I think I'm all that. It's just because I don't want to find myself in a place that I don't need to be that could damage my marriage and your marriage and my ministry and your ministry and all that. It just isn't worth it. So don't do it. Don't even hang out with them. If you find yourself in that situation, either call somebody, do something, whatever. I was here at the church one time. There was a lady that was coming to drop something off. Right? And I was here by myself. And they're on their way. They called. I'm on my way. And I'm like, okay, so what I do? And I think Gabe was coming back, but he hadn't got back or whatever. So I'm here all by myself, and this lady comes. So I meet her at the door. But before I dial the phone, I call my wife. I said, hey, I just want to let you know so-and-so is bringing something by here. I'm here by myself. I'm meeting her at the door, and I want you to stay on the phone with me till she's gone. And she did. She stayed on the phone. She heard me open the door. I met them in the parking lot. I got what they were bringing me. They got in their car, shut the door, drove off, and I got off the phone with my wife. Now, that's not because of my past, right? That's not because I've made mistakes in the past. That's just because that's the guardrail that should have been there in the very stinking beginning. And so it's there in my life, and you need to have that in your life if you're a married man or married woman. You just need to think about it because it'll put you places you were never meant to be. Here's a big one. Don't confide in or counsel members of the opposite sex that aren't your spouse. Don't confide in and don't counsel with people that aren't your spouse. You know what happens with that? Listen, you've seen it on TV, right? You know the script? Yeah, well, it plays out in life just like that. You know, you just listen to me. You know, my husband just... he just doesn't listen. But I'm so comfortable talking to you. Right? You know how it goes. You can, if you were watching on TV, you'd be like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. But yet there you are right there in the middle of it doing it. It happens. It only takes a few conversations to break that down until you find yourself there with something that you're really not ready to take on, that you shouldn't be taking on. Listen, if they want to talk to somebody else, that's fine. You know, Kelly called me the other day, and we have a good friend that she's happened to be talking to, and she said, you know, they were telling me this, this, and this, and this, and I said, you shouldn't have had that conversation. And she's like, you know, I shouldn't have. It didn't dawn on her. It's not, you know, because we have guardrails on both sides, and we We do it, and we'll talk about that in a second. But she's like, you know, I shouldn't have. And she said, once I realized where it was going, I cut it off and moved on. But it was somebody confiding in, and, you know, it's a friend. And I'm sure he felt very comfortable doing that. But the problem is he went past the line that he should have never put their relationship in. And so you need to think about that. When you call that person and you begin to pour out your heart, listen, you need to think about why you're pouring out your heart to that person. And if there's you need to figure out somebody else to go pour it out to. You know, if you want me to counsel you, I promise. You can come pour your heart out to me. But you just need to know either my wife or somebody else is going to be sitting in the room. Because I'm not even in that setting going to put either one of us at risk. It's a guardrail. It's in the safe zone to keep us there. Not because I don't like you, not because I don't want to hear your story. I want to help you. But I want to help both of us in the big way, keep us there. Listen, if you're a business owner, you're a manager, whatever, here's one. Don't hire cute little people of the opposite sex because you want to help them. All right? This one is one that gets people all the time. Don't hire the cute little girl because customers would like her, because what's going to happen is you're going to like her. It's going to happen. And the next thing you know, the cute little thing that needs help is going to be asking you for help, and you might end up helping her in a way that you weren't intending on, okay? Don't do it. Don't do it. If you want to help somebody, you know, give to the United Way or whatever. But don't help the cute little girl just because she's cute and needs help. Don't do it. All right, here's one. I got to think about this. The moment that you, as a married person, that you feel your heart drifting towards somebody else that's not your spouse, you need to tell somebody. You need to tell somebody. You need to get that out of you. You need to get some help. It's one of the things I love about life groups, because you develop relationships within that where you can have some confidentiality. I'm not talking about stand up in the middle of the group and, hey, I need to tell y'all, I started liking this guy. I'm talking about you find somebody that you can hold you accountable, that you can trust, and you say, hey, I need to let you know. Man, this little girl down at the office is, man, I don't know, she's just cute and she laughs. And, you know, I like the way she touches my shoulder, which is a problem. Okay? You need to tell somebody so they can help hold you accountable. And then at some point, you should tell your spouse. But you need to be able to work through that, and you need somebody to hold you accountable. The moment that you begin to start thinking about, boy, I sure hope I run into her today, or I run into him today, you need to tell somebody, because you're heading for disaster. Tell somebody so they can help you. Married people, here's the last thing. Your spouse needs to know where your guardrails are. You need to talk about it. You need to have that conversation. If your wife tells you, hey, you can't go there, guess what? You can't go there. If it makes her uncomfortable and it makes her doubt and question and wonder, guys, listen, you got to honor that. You got to hold her up, and you got to love her enough to put the guardrail where it helps her as well. Ladies, you got to do the same thing. You got to listen. You got to help each other, because that's where you need to be, or else you'll find yourself in a relationship that has taken you beyond the guardrail and is headed for disaster. Your conscience, that bell, those whistles, all of that when you get in these situations has got to go off. You got to put the guardrails there. All right, single people. Here we go. Single people. Just gouge your eyes out and cut your hands off, and you'll be okay. Problem solved. We fix it. Well, that would be easy, right? The Bible does talk about it, if it offends. But the reality is you got to take those married guidelines and you got to apply them to you. When it comes to other married people, you've got to apply the married guidelines to you the same. Don't go talk to somebody else's husband. Don't go talk to somebody else's wife. Don't try to get them to have dinner with you alone. Don't try to keep running into them at certain places. Don't do any of that stuff with somebody else's wife, unless you want your wife, your wife one day, or your husband one day, to do the same thing to you. I don't believe in karma, but I do believe that that some that things, sometimes what goes around comes around. And if somebody will do that against you or with you, they'll do it against you. You need to be alert to it. You need to be thinking about that. Don't find yourself in any of those situations. Don't put yourself in that place of flirting with your boss. You need to flee. You need to get out of those situations. Here's the second one. You're not going to like this one. No sleepovers. Sleepovers are for 8-year-olds. Don't have a sleepover. If you're dating and not married, you shouldn't be sleeping over with each other. It will lead you to a place that you don't need to be. It will take you to a level of intimacy that you don't need to have with somebody that you've not made a covenant in marriage with. You can get mad. You can hate me. You can never come back to church here. But I can tell you, I can back that up scripturally. And you can't back yours up. I'm just trying to be honest with you. I love you. And don't ever mistake the fact that I preach what God tells me to preach, the fact that I don't love you. That is why I preach it. Because I love you. I don't want to beat up anybody. I can open up my life and I can tell you all kinds of things about me. I've been honest with you. The reality is none of us are perfect. We just got to do everything we can to be as close to Christ as possible. Listen, if the church isn't driving you to be more like Christ, it isn't a church. It's just a place you hang out together at. It's a social club. So I'm never going to let this be a social club. I'm always going to be pushing me first and the rest of you after me to be as much like him as we can. That's what church is supposed to be. No sleepovers. It will take you. Listen, sleeping over, not a sin. Right? I don't hear me saying that. But usually what happens while you're there does put you in that category. So let's be real about it, and let's be honest about it. All right, here's last one. If you're single, and being on a date is equivalent to having sex, I mean that a date isn't a date unless you have sex, here's what you need to do. I believe this. You're going to think, oh my goodness, this one's extreme, Ron. You need to put a date, a big X on your calendar a year from today. And you need to not have one relationship with anybody of the opposite sex other than just a friendship. I mean super friendship, not friends with benefits, any of that stuff. I'm talking no physical, sexual intimacy at all for a year. Because you need some time for God to take you and to rewire you and to bring you back to a place of understanding what it is that he wants you to be and to do and to have in your life. And some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, I'm never coming back to this church again. You know what? I hope that's not the case. But the truth is if you're at a place where that's all it's about, then you've missed the mark. And you need to go back to the drawing board and you need to begin to understand who you are and were created to be. And you need to understand who that other person is that you're with and who they're supposed to be. And you need to come back to a place of understanding that God created you special and you're valuable and he lives within you and your body's a temple and he wants you to see it all that way. Now, all of us make mistakes. I get that. We've talked about that. But the truth is that we've got to come to a place of seeing where we are. I'm not talking to anybody else. I'm talking to you. All right? I'm talking to me. We have to look at ourselves and decide where our guardrails are. But if it's all about the act of sex, then we have missed out on something so beautiful and so creative. Listen, sex was created by God. And when he was done creating stuff, what did he say? It's good. It's very good if you really want to know the translation. It's very good. But he also made it clear the context in which it's to be used in. And when it's used in the proper context, it is good and it is beautiful and it is all that he created it to be. And so we've got to come to a place where we got to quit thinking, oh, well, I'm entitled to that. And to look at it and just say, you know what, God loves me and he created this and he's got something even better for me with it down the road. The thing is that we've come to a place where we see things like that and we say, man, that's just so extreme, Ron, when you tell me what the scripture says, that's extreme. The problem is, it's not that it's that extreme. It's that we've gone so extreme the other direction. And we've allowed so many things into our lives to say, that's just okay. You know, well, God just blessed me anyway. Well, you know what? He may have blessed you, but think of the blessing that you might have had had you just done things the way that he wanted you to do it. I'm not talking about sex. I'm just talking about in general. When it comes to following his word and following through on just being the person of God he created you to be. So today, listen, where are your guardrails? When it comes to physical and sexual intimacy, have you set some up? Or have you just said, you know what, I'm just going to roll with it? Well, guess what? Rolling with it is what some of us are doing, and we shouldn't be. Because we've crossed into a danger zone that's going to get us in a place that will keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Listen, you need to know today that this message is about a God that loves you. And it's coming from a pastor that loves you. And some of you are like, you don't even know me. No, that's you got to understand a pastor's heart. That if you walk in here and I don't love you, then I got a problem. So today, where are you when it comes to sexual intimacy and physical intimacy? Have you crossed the boundary? Hey, that's okay. Then let's confess it. Let's repent of it, and let's be forgiven of it. And then let's see what God's got next for us. If you don't have guardrails, put them in place and begin to look at it to keep yourself from being somewhere you don't need to be. Here's the next step for today. That you will establish guardrails in your life to honor God with your body. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever that looks like for you based on what the scripture teaches, are you willing to do that? Listen, I went back and I just had to go back and reestablish my own this week just to make sure I'm where I needed to be. And some of them aren't, you know, they're tough, you know, because you got to think about it and you got to be aware of it. But the reality is, you know what? It's going to make my life better. It's going to make my family's life better. And it's going to make your life better as part of the church that I pastor. I'm excited about what he's going to do in your life as you begin to establish those guardrails. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for today. God, I know this is a tough message. God, I know the day that this message, this could hurt the relationship I have with people in this room. God, my prayer is that it won't do that. God, God, your spirit will make that very clear. God, I pray today that if I said something that wasn't what you wanted me to say, God, that you would strike it from our minds. God, I repent of that. I'm sorry that if I did. But God, the things that you said through me, may you not just burn it on my heart, but may you burn it on the hearts of the people in this room. It's easy to say, I got all this figured out. God, the reality is when we put ourselves up against the standard of Jesus Christ, we all fall. We all fail. So God, today I pray that you'll take our failures, our mistakes, that you'll take our shortcomings that just don't line up to who you are, that God, then we will put things in our lives, God, that first that you'll forgive us of it, and then we'll put things in our lives that God will help us not to get back there. God, today, thank you so much for each person here. I pray that there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, that today they would make that decision to accept forgiveness of their sins and to be made right with you for eternity. God, for those that have made that decision, may we be even more sold out to you to make sure that we are where we need to be when it comes to sex in our life. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. May you bless this time. May you do great things through it. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.